In the year 2022, we should all endeavor to be green girls because climate change is real. But how? How do we make a difference in today's earthly reality? Today's guest, Candace Batista, is someone who I am super fond of. I respect her so much, and she is truly an eco-warrior. And she's going to teach us how to be a green girl in the real world. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited about today's guest because I know her as someone who is all about the green eco lifestyle, but I've never had the opportunity to tuck in because it's always just been seeing segments on television or, you know, seeing some of your articles, but I've never had a chance to like dig deep and get all the tea about going green and being sustainable. So welcome to the podcast, Candace Batista.
Thank you. Hi, Bianca. It's so great to be here with you. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm so excited too. Because like I said, we're a producer on a television show that I also work on. So I knew that you're green. And whenever I do something green, I'm like, Candace would be so proud. but everyone comes to the green lifestyle differently, or any lifestyle really, whether it's health or green or whatever. So I can't imagine you were always Miss Eco Hub. So how did you come to be a sustainability expert?
I was actually from a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've just always been that green girl.
I've always been very involved in conservation from a very young child. I grew up in Africa, and I had a very strong connection to the natural world very early on. And most of my school projects as a kid were centered around some kind of activism, whether it was people or animals or something. So it was very natural for me to kind of fall into this, but I didn't actually fall into it. I was always interested in it. I was always very interested in television as well, and television production and telling stories. And then I took my love for the natural world and my love for telling stories and kind of combined the two together. And I've been doing it now for 30 years. I'm old.
Wow. Age is a number. It's a construct. I truly believe that. So you've just been that girl since the beginning. You've never really had to have a glow up. You were already shining.
Yeah, I was very involved in that kind of stuff as a kid. And I just, I always questioned things, and it was just a very natural thing for me to kind of parlay my life and my life's work into more hardcore sustainable living and activism.
Well, this isn't one of the questions I sent you, but I'm going to ask you. So your husband, because you're a married woman, did you have to teach him the ways, or did he come already, you know, well-versed in the green?
No, he's not well-versed in the green. He's wonderful. But yes, every day, even today, 30 years later, is a learning lesson. Like, for example, most people do not know how to recycle certain products. And every time my husband goes to the garbage, he's like, what am I doing with all this? So I'm like, this is garbage. This is recycling. This is compost. And there's always an argument. Well, not an argument. I shouldn't say that. There's always a question. How come this can't go in the recycling? And it's been interesting because he's like, this is so confusing. No wonder the regular person can't even do this. So yeah. So and sometimes I make him do things, like I make him separate things. So for example, if there's a paper envelope that has a plastic window in it, I will make him remove the window, and that goes in the garbage, and then the recycling bin takes the envelope. But I typically do that myself because that's a lot to ask of other people.
It's true. And I feel like, so I, as well as you, live in Toronto, and I got the Toronto Waste app, and it teaches you what recycles and what doesn't. I was stunned at the things that I thought I was recycling and I really should have been thrown in the garbage. And secondly, I was stunned at all the things that you can't recycle. Like, why? Like, you can't recycle black plastic? What's that about?
Yeah, so there's many reasons why. Two main reasons. One is black plastic is made of typically of different kinds of plastic together. Mm-hmm. It's usually a plastic that has a number assigned to it. That's a 3, a 6, or a 7. And typically those plastics are not recyclable. They have very low recycling rates, one. And two, they can't see the black plastic on the conveyor belt. So it's very hard to sort black plastic. Most of the issues that we have with recycling is one, infrastructure. We don't have proper infrastructure in place. It's very old-fashioned. And two, regular people are just not doing it properly. And it's because it's so confusing, for sure.
It's so confusing because not everyone has a Toronto Waste app to show you.
Exactly.
So with that, I think, you know, you're probably the best resource to ask this because you've been doing this for over 30 years. And there's sometimes, you know, when people are getting started, they trip up. So what are the biggest mistakes that you see people making when they're endeavoring to be, you know, more green, more sustainable?
I think you always know, whenever you're starting any kind of new path, it's looking at the why. Like, why am I doing this? So asking yourself why. And I think once you establish that, you know, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to reduce waste? Am I doing this to reduce chemicals? Am I doing this to save money? What is your why? That's the first thing. The second thing is, in my opinion, and having done this so long, is that the most important thing before you start this journey is to understand your waste. And I teach people how to do a DIY waste audit. So what you're going to do is for 1 week, or even longer if you can, but at least a week, you're going to collect all of your garbage and you're going to collect all of the things that you think can be recycled, things that you would put in the recycling bin. And then there's compost and green bin waste. So you're not going to collect that because you already know that you only can put food in there, in the city's compost bin. After a week, you're going to look at those two piles and you're going to make notes. You're going to think, okay, how much am I actually throwing away? Like, what's actually going into the garbage? And then you're going to pull out your waste app or any kind of resource that you have for your city or your municipality or village or whatever, wherever you live. Lots of websites today, municipality websites they may not have a Waste Wizard app, but they do have lots of information on what can and can be accepted in their specific system. Then you're going to look at your recycling and compare that to the information that you're going to find from your local pickup facility. And you're going to see where the mistakes are. What this does is it gives you power. It gives you knowledge, because now you know, okay, I'm throwing away a lot of stuff instead of recycling it. This stuff can actually go in recycling, but I'm also creating a lot of garbage. Where can I make changes? Once you establish and understand your waste stream, then you can start to implement changes within your home. And I always say it's kind of like decluttering. When you think about decluttering and you think about going into your garage, for example, and you open those doors and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much. And you just give up right away and you close it. It's the same concept with mindful living, is that you can't start in your whole house. A lot of people, when they start this journey, they like, okay, I'm getting rid of everything. I'm getting rid of everything that's bad, with in quotation marks, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the everywhere. And that's not what sustainable living is all about. It's understanding your impact. It's understanding where and how you can make changes. It's picking one small area in your home, starting there and building those habits. Because if you start all at once, like decluttering a big room, you're not going to get to, you know, it's going to defeat the purpose. So decluttering experts and organizing experts always say, start with a chest of drawers or one drawer. Just start with the one drawer in your kitchen and then get that organized. Then move on to the Tupperware drawer, then move on. So it's the same concept with eco-friendly living, is to really start small and start with small tangible things that you can do right now in your home. And there's lots of things that you can do.
I love that, because I think that for a lot of people, it can feel really costly as well, because they look at, you know, what sustainable fashion or organic or local food, the cost can be. And I know, I think it's dubious that fast food and sometimes, you know, lesser quality food is more affordable. But how does someone start down this path of sustainability? And I know you just mentioned starting small, so that kind of deals with it. But how do you do this without it costing a fortune?
Use what you have. Going green doesn't mean that you have to rush out and buy new products. And Instagram and the whole thing with the zero waste movement is, you know, posting pretty pics of mason jars that match and all beeswax wraps and all those things are great, fine, on your journey. But honestly, it's not about spending money. It's about using what you have. So if we go back to your DIY garbage audit, let's say you realize that, wow, I'm throwing a lot of stuff in the garbage that can't be recycled. Styrofoam. There are exceptions. Some municipalities take styrofoam, but most don't. That's the exception to the rule. You know, instead of buying peanut butter in a plastic container.
This episode of the Glow Up Tips for the Girls podcast is brought to you by NutriSense, the continuous glucose monitor. Wearing a continuous glucose monitor, honestly, was a game changer for me because I was able to see what was happening with my glucose in real time, all the time, continuously. But what was even more game changing was when I got my continuous glucose monitor with NutriSense, I was also assigned a dietitian to help me read and interpret the numbers that were coming up. Because when you get a continuous glucose monitor, it can be hard to interpret what the numbers are saying. But when you get a dietitian paired with your monitor, that is when you can really understand, interpret, and make the right changes guided by a professional. So head over to NutriSense.io to get your continuous glucose monitor and use the code Bianca25 for $25 off your first month. Trust me when I tell you, this will change your life. Get one now.
Or buy it in glass. Instead of buying eggs in styrofoam, buy them in cardboard boxes. So it's starting. So once you know what your garbage is, can you then take that garbage and make sustainable swaps that won't cost you much more money, maybe 20 cents extra, a dollar extra here and there. When it comes to, and the reason why I say, and I use peanut butter as an example, is that once you're done with that jar, you can then reuse that jar for anything in your home. You can reuse it for leftovers. You can reuse it to make your own soaps. You can reuse it on the go, you know? So there's no reason to rush out and buy glass food storage containers to get rid of your plastic. You can use the glass jars that you already have in your home. Same thing with things like paper towel. And there are a lot of misconceptions around going green that it is more expensive, and it really isn't. In fact, if you got rid of paper towel, if you got rid of saran wrap, and you opted just for things that you have in the house, you know, reusable food containers, silicone food bags, using cloths that you have an abundance of. Most people have so many tea towels and cleaning cloths in their homes, you can get rid of paper towel very easily and save a fortune. So it's not about buying beeswax wraps and all these pretty expensive eco-friendly things. It's about using what you have in your home and getting rid of the things that are costing you money and wasteful things like paper towel, garbage bags. I can't imagine me saying to my grandmother, in 20 years, you're going to buy a product that you know you're going to put in the garbage.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? This invention of paper towel and these convenience products that we use cost us so much money ourselves and cost the planet massive amounts of problems. So it's not about spending more money at all. It's about using what you have in your home already.
I mean, I feel like you're talking directly to me because paper towel is my vice. It really is. But I have so many other things that I've done. I store all my food in glass. We keep everything almost to our detriment as far as like jars and things are concerned. But I'm going to go out. I'm going to get tea towels that are like meant to just be used as paper towel. I'm going to get a bunch of them because that's the last thing, because I just love being able to just like, you know, wipe something down.
Yeah. So in place of paper towels, what I would recommend is that you would have to spend a little money. Mm-hmm. And only because you want something as effective as a paper towel, I don't think they're that affected, but a lot of people do. A Swedish cloth, a Swedish disc cloth is one of the best things that you can have in your home. They're biodegradable. They break down. They're made from cellulose, which is a natural fiber that breaks down very easily in your compost bin. You can't put them in the city's compost bin, but if you have a compost bin or an outdoor compost bin, you can put them in there. And have at least 12 of them, like buy a big stack of them. And what I do for really nasty messes, like vomit, cat litter, vomit, you know, cats throw up hairballs all the time. Your kid may have made a, make a mess, you know, label those cloths, give them a label, like put a little thing on them, pets only, meat only, you know, toilet only. So you actually will write on them what you're using them for. And then people always are like, oh, but if you're using it to clean the toilet, it's so gross. And then you've got to throw it in the laundry. We have to get over that silliness. Like this is how they washed clothes and how they handled things for many, many years before the Industrial Revolution. So you have a cloth, you wash it in hot water, add a little bit of soap, and then put it in the laundry bin. There's no contamination. You've used super hot water and you've used soap, you know, and soap kills everything.
Yeah, it really is silliness. You're right when you use that term, because I think that now we're just so wrapped up in like, oh, I don't want it to touch or whatever. And it's like, it really is.
So ridiculous. Yeah. And it's marketing. Marketing, the companies that sell us these products do a wonderful job at marketing them to us. This is going to make your life easier. Look what it picks up, you know. People always say to me, well, I cook bacon. And what am I supposed to do with all the grease from the bacon? You know, I put them on the paper towel. So take a baking rack that has a, take a baking sheet that has a baking rack, put the bacon on top of that. All the oil will fall from the sheet, from the rack onto the sheet. And then you just get rid of that oil and clean the baking sheet.
Yeah. Done. Wow. Yeah. You're like blowing my mind. Cause these are all really simple fixes that we can do now. We don't have to run out and get any, buy anything. These are just like swaps of making it easy in our everyday life. But I'm glad that you mentioned corporations, because they really do, their job is to make us feel like our lives are too hard, that we aren't good enough and such, so that we feel the need to buy their product. And I mean, there's washing of all kinds. There's health washing, there's pink washing around, you know, breast cancer, but there's also greenwashing, and you see it all the time. And I think that when someone is just starting out on this journey, you might get caught in some of these traps. So what should people look for when they are like venturing to go green, to make sure that the choice is actually green and not some marketing gimmick?
So it's very hard for the average person to figure that out. And it's mostly because it takes a lot of work and energy to really dig deep into a company and see kind of what they're doing. So I'll give you a few examples. So Coca-Cola has a bottle that's called a plant-based bottle. Mm-hmm. And they have a campaign where they're like talking about how amazing this new bottle is, and it's plant-based, and but it's only a certain amount of the bottle is plant-based. The rest of it is plastic, so it can't be recycled. That's greenwashing. The other thing is McDonald's. McDonald's promoting their ethical coffee. We're selling ethical coffee. It's fair trade. We're paying the workers well. The problem is when you have large companies like that doing that, people support those companies. People drink Coke. People eat McDonald's and Big Macs. So when a big company like that puts a commercial out, it makes you feel good. Right? They're playing on that emotion, like, oh, okay, so they're not that bad. Like, I'm going to buy a sustainable coffee. Amazing. But the problem in both of those situations is when you look at Coca-Cola, for an example, Coca-Cola is tied to the fossil fuel industry. Not only do Coca-Cola make pop, but they also manufacture plastic bottles. And the plastic bottles that they manufacture, they get amazing kickbacks and incentives from the government in order to do that. So the plastic industry relies heavily on these companies to continue to produce plastic. So you think, oh my gosh, look, they're making this beautiful plastic, non-plastic plant-based bottle, yay! And it totally mitigates all the other problems that come with the fossil fuel industry. When we look at McDonald's, same idea. Not only do we have fossil fuel issues and the dependence on fossil fuels, And our dependence on fossil fuels is what's driving climate change. It's the greenhouse gas emissions that are created from the production of those bottles that are creating climate change and global warming. When you look at McDonald's, they're completely eliminating the fact that their meat production and their industrial farming, the harmful effects that industrial farming. So it doesn't matter how much sustainable coffee they sell, it can never, ever mitigate the issue with sustainable, non-sustainable practices when it comes to factory farming. And with factory farming, we have human rights, because a lot of the people that work in those facilities are BIPOC and not being paid a fair wage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Two, we have animal rights. And the way those animals are kept and the way they're treated and the way they're killed and abused on a regular basis. That's one issue. Then we have the entire other issue of deforestation. So what's happening is that companies like McDonald's, who buy meat from big ranchers, they're clear cutting forests, not only for the animals to walk around, but also to plant feed for the animals. Mm. Now, when you do that, you're doing two things. Number one, you have the cows outside. Every time they eat and they burp, they give off methane gas. Methane gas is 10 times higher or worse than CO2. So you have methane gas going into the atmosphere constantly, increasing the chances of global warming. And then you also have deforestation from clear cutting. When you clear cut and you cut down and burn forests, all of that carbon goes into the air. So you've got a double whammy. So greenwashing is very nuanced, it's very layered, and it's very confusing. How do you know if a company is doing that? Transparency. You need to go onto their website. You can be sure that any large company that's selling you paper towels, Coca-Pop, meat, McDonald's, all of them are part of greenwashing. So you need to look at smaller companies that are more local, that have certifications in place to prove what they're saying is actually going on. And it's very hard to navigate. And it's why I started my website, because I give you all of that information. Every single article, no matter whether it's about lighting your home, buying sustainable shoes, shopping for eco-friendly meats, whatever it is, I break it down. This is what you need to look for. This is how you need to shop. These are the certifications that you need to look for. But living sustainably is not easy. Our world is simply not set up. And it's why most people give up, because they feel like their little impact is not going to make a difference. But if lots of people are, we don't need one people doing one thing. We need lots of people doing lots of things.
Yeah, I know. We're the world community. I think that we live in a world that has made us feel like individualism is king, but we don't thrive if we don't operate as a community on some things. Like, yeah, some things are individual, of course, but saving the planet and reversing this uphill, up shit creek we are going is all going to come together if we work together. Acne isn't from dirty skin, and eczema isn't from something on your skin. Skin is healed from the inside out. In the skin class, I'm gonna share how I healed my eczema naturally, from what I wish I knew before I started on this healing journey, my daily eczema healing routine, and every single product I used on and in my body, recipes, including my homemade skin healing salve. This class will leave you feeling seen and like you finally have a real plan to heal. Head to biancaosborne.com/go/the skin class to join now. Can't happen any other way, really.
No, it won't happen. And we'll never meet our emissions reductions. Like, that's never going to happen in this country, and it's never going to happen in most countries. And that's, for me, as someone who's been doing this for so long, is a very, you know, hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Okay. So everyday life, like you just said, it's sort of set up to make us not be able to be sustainable in almost every sense. But what are the most wasteful aspects of day-to-day life that you see? And what are some solutions that people can take on?
It's really the simplest things. It's the big four. So the first one is cups, coffee cups.
Oh, okay.
So single-use coffee cups are one of the worst things for the environment. They don't break down. They stay in landfills forever. You can't recycle them. Yes, there's some places where you can recycle the top and you might be able to recycle the bottom. Again, those are the exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. Most recycling facilities will not accept plastic. Anytime you're, a good recycling tip is that anytime you're looking at a product that you have in front of you or a packaging that you have in front of you, if it's made with more than one kind of material, so it's plastic and metal, or it's and you can see that there's two types of plastic together, typically those are not recyclable. Plastic needs to come in one thing, number two plastic, and then it's turned into something else. The facilities can't separate. That's why chip bags, you can't recycle chip bags, because chip bags have layers of different kinds of materials. What? And typically you can't recycle those types of things. Exactly. So coffee cups have two materials. They have paper on the outside and lined plastic on the inside, you know, to protect the water, the liquid from breaking, from making the paper cup wet. So carrying and keeping your own coffee cup at your desk, or keeping a coffee cup, a reusable coffee cup with you on the go, is key to reducing that waste. And that's a substantial thing. If everybody, think of how many people in this country drink Tim Hortons and McDonald's and Starbucks. Think of the volume of coffee cups. It's hundreds of millions of them are going to waste every truly year. So that's one thing. You know, stop buying coffee in single-use coffee cups. The same goes to bottled water. Bottled water is the biggest scam.
Bottled water, I knew it. I knew that one.
Yeah, you're drinking tap water in most cases. You're not drinking filtered water like they say on the bottle. Yes, there's Evian and all these other ones, but the stupidity of drinking, like, bottled water is key if you're in an area where there's been a earthquake or some kind of, you know,
relief
thing has happened and we need to get water to people fast. Yes, take them the bottled water. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the laziness of, oh, I'm at the gas station, I didn't bring a water bottle, I'm just going to buy this water. One, you never drink at all, ever.
No, it's always,
you never get through it all. And you pour it out and you throw it in the garbage. So for me, those little things are infuriating because one, your habit of buying that plastic bottle all the time and that coffee cup is fueling climate change massively.
Oh, wow.
Because they have to keep making those products. And those products are made from plastic, which is fossil fuels. It's petroleum. Plastic is made from petroleum. It's oil. You know, so it's people don't make these connections. Oh, it's just one bottle. It's just here. But it's 7 million, 8 million people doing it. You know, it would have a monumental impact. And it will also send the company a message that, hey, we don't want to buy this anymore. It's like, we have to understand that our habits and the things that we use on a regular basis are having a very detrimental impact on other people in the world, people that are forced to work in those factories. Fast fashion is a good example. And the environment itself. And at some point you have to look at your life and say, why do I want to be a negative impact on other people? Like, you know, at some point we do have to start asking these questions, because the government is never going to get us out of this mess ever. You know? And it really is unfortunately left up to us and the consumer. So I think that, you know, plastic water bottles, just stop. Carry a reusable water bottle, put one in your bag, put one in your gym bag, put one in your car, carry a reusable cup. Like, when I was working in an office, I had my cup, I had my coffee, and I kept my milk in the fridge with my name on it. And it was so simple. Like, I went from spending $5 to $10 a day on a coffee, a single use coffee, to making my own coffee at my desk. No money, not expensive. Cost me like a few cents because I have everything there with me. It's like, it's so simple. You know,
it is. And you just have to have the right recipe. Honestly, making your own coffee at home, which is something that I do, is kind of, it can be a top heavy investment, because you got to get the frother. If you're like me, you want to have good coffee and the whole situation, but you save so much money. And you're right, you don't really get involved in the waste of these coffee cups at all, because you're just likely putting it in a cup to go that you have at your house that's reusable, or something you're just drinking out of.
It's a huge thing, and people don't realize how much money you save. And when you start doing it, you're like, you realize, shoot, I was spending a lot of money on coffee or tea or whatever it is. You don't realize it, you know? So it, so the two major things is to carry reusables, you know, and pack your lunch in, you know, glass containers. I'm not a big fan of putting food in plastic.
No, me either.
So I never talk about that because it can get very, people get very heated and very uncomfortable. But for me, we're inundated with plastic. We're finding plastic in umbilical cords now in mothers. We're finding plastic in rain, in our food. We are eating plastic. So the less of an impact I can have on my own health and my own body by reducing the volume of plastic I'm exposed to daily, and putting your food in plastic, especially when it's hot, is just not a great idea. No. You know, if it's cold and you're just using it as storage, I'm all for it. But if it's hot and you're putting it in the microwave or you're heating your
food up in that,
and I see it every day when I was in the office, every day, 90% of people are heating their food in a plastic container.
Or in styrofoam. Even when I get like food delivery, I immediately transfer it to glass.
Immediately.
Like, I just don't want it to be sitting hot any longer in this container.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say switching out the two main ones. The other one is like plastic, like straws. You know, if you go to a restaurant, just ask them to hold the straw. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just, you don't need a straw for every drink. Yes, there are some drinks that need a straw. Fine, get a straw. But most drinks don't need a straw, you know. So it's kind of this, you know, and there are people that are, that do need straws. There are people that are, that have health issues that need a straw. I'm not referring to those people. I'm referring to the masses. The masses are, we're consuming and wasting things like we never have before. And I'm not talking about people who have disabilities or people who don't have access to those things. That's a very important part of this conversation, is accessibility and making eco-living less white and bringing the BIPOC voice into that. But I'm talking about, you know, the middle-aged white people and white women like myself who are buying coffee cups, plastic water bottles, using plastic straws. We can do better.
Yeah, we absolutely can. And I think that, you know, breaking it down, like saying, you know, people will be like, you know, we need to do something about oil, or they'll, you know, drive a Tesla or you know, an electric vehicle, but they drink water bottles and they don't understand that water bottles are made from plastic, which is made from petroleum, which I didn't know. My mouth was agape when you said it. So I feel like that's really easy for people to do. Get, and even some of these coffee mug to go things are both water bottles and they're like hot cold. So it's one thing that you have to carry.
If you buy a double insulated, then you can have one for hot and the same one for cold. So you don't have to buy, because people always, oh, well, then I have to buy something for cold water and hot. No, you don't actually. You can buy, and a lot of very good companies today make them specifically for that purpose. It's a dual purpose. It's double insulated. You can fill it up with cold and it'll be so cold, and you can rinse it out and fill it up with a coffee.
I love that. I could talk to you forever, and I will, because everyone needs to stay tuned, because there's going to be a bonus episode with Candace where we're going to talk about gadgets and all kinds of things. So look out for that. But before we end today's episode, Candace, let everyone know where they can find you.
So you can find me on my website, theecohub.com. There's a million resources on there. Honestly, you could literally type in anything, plastic, shoes. It really doesn't matter. It's a very, very in-depth educational website that offers tools and practical advice on how to be more mindful and live more sustainably. And then on Instagram is just my name, Candace Batista, or The Eco Hub.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glow Up Tips for the Girls podcast. If you like this podcast, and I really hope you do, please leave me a rating, a review, subscribe, share. I mean, open your window and just scream out, listen to this podcast. And if you have any feedback for me, please join me on Instagram at bianca.osborne, and you can give it to me there. The good, the bad, the ugly, I welcome it all. From my lips to your ears, shine on. See you next time.